Hi, and welcome to episode number 7 of HER, the podcast all about women, where we share the naked truth about her mind, her body, her life. I'm Dr. Pam Peek, and today we're talking about, I love you, but I'm not in love with you? And our guest is Dr. Jed Diamond. Oh, I'm so excited to have Jed on. He is fabulous. And hey, this episode of HER is made possible by our friends at Smarty Pants Women's Complete Vitamins. They're delicious once-a-day gummies that contain the complete vitamin, mineral, folate, and omega mix customized just for women. Trust me, you won't forget to take them because they taste so good. So to learn more, go to SmartyPantsVitamins.com. And just a quick reminder to hop on over to iTunes after our episode to rate this podcast and review us. Ah, we so welcome your thoughts. All right, it's time for HER.
HER, the podcast.
The naked truth about women.
Her mind.
Her body.
Her life.
It's all about HER.
On this episode, Dr. Jed Diamond is going to be talking to us about when you get told, I love you, but I'm not in love with you. Oh no, what's that about? Well, there's some bleak statistics here before we launch here. Approximately 50% of first marriages end in divorce. 75 to 80% of women and men who have failed first marriage will remarry, and then that'll be within 5 years. And guess what? 66% of second marriages and 73% of third marriages end in divorce. Oh my gosh, I have to pop Prozac right now just to get through this. The divorce rate among adults age 50 and over doubled between 1990 and 2010. And oh boy, a lot of it's fueled by people over the age of 50, called the Gray Divorce Revolution. Oh, I'm exhausted. Dr. Jed Diamond, welcome to the HER podcast. Help! Now, Dr. Diamond is the founder and director of the Men Alive, a health program that helps men and women who love them. He is one of the world's leading experts on midlife marriage with more than 40 years of counseling experience. He's the author of 14 books, including international bestsellers, Male Menopause. Yeah, they got them, honey. We're all sharing the misery. The Irritable Male Syndrome, which I thought was fabulous. But we're going to be talking today about his newest book, The Enlightened Marriage, The 5 Transformative Stages of Relationships and Why the Best is Still to Come. Oh, Jed, just make me feel better. I mean, seriously, with those statistics, I mean, how in your book are you going to make us feel better?
Well, thank you, Pam, for your kind introduction and for being on the show. And let me just say that, you know, I've spent the last 40-plus years dealing with the reality that so many people start off a relationship with great hope, great excitement. They found that person that they really want to be with, and then something happens over time for too many people, and relationships that go from, this is so wonderful, start going the way of the statistics that you describe. And I'll be honest with you, even as a therapist, I dealt with this in my own life. Being a therapist doesn't absolve you from going through these changes. My first marriage ended in divorce, so I was part of that early statistic. I got married again, and my second marriage ended in divorce. And I said, before I do it the third time, I've got to figure this out. And so I went, really took some time, really went into some depth, and now I met beautiful woman. Carlin and I have now been together for 36 years, and I've found what I think is the secrets of how do we have real lasting love in our lives. So that's the good news. That's, you know, that's what I've been putting together for, you know, this last period of time, and want people to know how do we do that so that everybody who wants a relationship can find one. Everybody in a relationship can have a relationship that gets better through time rather than ends up in the, I love you, but I'm not in love with you anymore.
Oh, I just love this. I feel better already. I put the Prozac away. Ah, oh, big, big sigh of relief here. All right. You know, in your book, which I think is fabulous, I'm telling you all out there, The Enlightened Marriage is where it's at. In your book, you talk about five stages of love. You know, and I really think it's important for all of our Her podcast listeners to understand those stages, because there's some really significant changes that are going on. I think a lot of people walk around in fantasy land and they think that, you know, the great passion and the wowie nights and all the rest of it are going to last, you know, for 65 years. I sometimes think it's passion transitioning into compassion. So can you start in with these stages of love? And as you've looked at these five transformative stages, let's talk about each one of these and troubleshoot some of it.
Well, absolutely. Let me put it in this context. You said it very well, that most of us have an idea of relationship, really, if you thought about it, is really two stages. You know, we all know about that falling in love stage where we meet that special someone, our eyes lock, you know, we have an encounter, they seem like, we talk, and the magic is there, and you know, it becomes just wonderful. I've found that person, and we're, you know, we can't think of anybody but them. We, you know, we're, our brains and bodies are full of love chemicals, and we just are, you know, have only eyes for that one person. We all know that phase. We've been through it. The second phase, then, we hope will happen, where we know, or we think, and I'll talk about why it isn't true that that phase goes away. But often we think you can't stay in love forever, but we hope love will deepen. We'll get into a more, you know, build a life together, sometimes a family together. And that's, you know, and they lived happily ever after is what we hope, as you say. We have these ideas that then will everything will be wonderful for the next 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years. But then what we know, and too many people know this from the divorce statistics, and most of us know it from our own lives, is that disillusionment sets in. You know, it doesn't seem to be working the way we hoped. Those little things that were endearing at the beginning of the relationship become little grains in, you know, the gears of our relationship, and we get busy with life, our careers, our relationships, our world, and things start to deteriorate. And we think, is this the person that I want to spend the rest of my life with? Who is this person? We start seeing incompatibilities, and often that's the point at which relationships fall apart after 4 years, 7 years, whenever. Now, here's the good news, the beginning of the good news. What I've discovered is that disillusionment is actually the third stage of a wonderful relationship, a wonderful marriage, but we don't understand it. We misinterpret it. If you will, we have a faulty love map that only goes to two, and when all these things happen, we think, wow, I must be with the wrong person. But I'm going to go into some detail with you about this third stage and what it is. As we go into that and through it, there's a fourth stage, and it's called real lasting love. And that's,
yay,
you know, a
yay,
wonderful stage that we can all have, that's based not just on, you know, that falling in love, but can actually be better than that, and I'll tell you how. Then there's
an even
more in-depth stage, which is stage number five, I say, is finding our calling as a couple. We all know individually that we're kind of on this hero's journey. We're trying to find our place in the world, to make our mark, to do something important. But we often don't think of this as a couple's journey, that we really are on a journey to learn about what does it mean to love in the world, how can we use what we learn as a couple to do wonderful work in the world. And altogether, these five stages, I think, are the real map that people have been looking for their whole lives. I know I was, but just didn't know where to look. And now we know, and we've developed some real in-depth technologies about how to address each of these five stages and move through them in a way that deepens love rather than reaches this point of impasse where love often begins to die and our relationships start going south.
Well, Jed, may I ask you a question then? I mean, so we have the five stages of love: falling in love, becoming a couple, disillusionment, creating real, lasting love, finding your calling as a couple. I get it. Been taking furious notes here. Now, you know, is disillusionment also, is the DNA of disillusionment involved and associated with just changes that people go through naturally as they get older? It could be anything from, you know, you're less naive and you're becoming more worldly. It could be that now you really do see that this person has issues with anxiety. You were blinded to that because of all the love hormones and the rest of it. It could also be trauma and drama that happens in the spouse's life.
Right.
Where you now watch them maybe become depressed for the first time. Maybe there's a medical condition that rears its head that changes the entire template of the relationship. Is that kind of what disillusionment is about too?
Exactly. There's actually two, and you've hit on both of them, two really critical understandings that we now have about what we call disillusionment. On the surface, it means, my God, this isn't what I thought. This isn't the person I thought I was with. What happened? You know, where did my husband go? Where did that lover go? Where did that special person go? They used to be there. Now they're not there. I hear that a lot. But here's the thing. Number one, disillusionment in its deeper sense means a letting go of the illusions that we have about ourselves and about the other person. So as you said, when we're, you know, under the influence of these mating chemicals that draw us together, you know, the biological purpose is to get us connected with a person so we can mate and have children and the species continues. It's not meant to really see the real person on the other side. So what happens is we start seeing who that person really is. Now, that's a good thing if you want a really good relationship, but we have to understand that it means letting go of many of the illusions, the projections, the hopes and dreams we had, the things we didn't have when we were a child that we thought, yeah, this time I'm going to have that lover that I really wanted, that I never really had that kind of love relationship as a child. So number one, we let go of some of the projections that we put on our partner and they put on us. This idealization that, you know, when after 4, 5, 6, 8, 10 years, that projection starts to falter and we start seeing the real person and we feel ripped off. We feel, you know, angry. We feel, you know, that isn't who I thought I was with. But stick with it, because another second part of this stage three is that we begin to recognize that a lot of the conflicts that we're having with our partner really have roots that go back to our childhood home. That in fact, studies have shown that probably 90% of the conflicts we have with our spouse, with our partner, with our mate, really have roots that go back to the traumas that we had as children. Now, we think of trauma as being, you know, the huge things, you know, having, you know, been abused as a child, being, you know, having a rape or having, you know, living in a situation where we were poor or in really dire straits. But what we found, and there's been studies, are called the ACE studies, the Adverse Childhood Experience,
yes.
ACE, to, you know, that show that very, very common things like divorces, like having a parent who may have anxiety or depression or other mental problems, who may, you know, be drinking too much or may have, you know, been absent from the home. These very, very common experiences not only affect our adult health, but they affect our adult relationships. And in this stage three, we can begin to heal those wounds from the past as we work on, you know, recognizing that the anger we have for our partner, the feeling of disconnection, you know, has more to do with the projections from the past than actual problems in the relationship. And when people recognize that, all of a sudden this stage three becomes a healing part. It becomes the central part of how couples can heal their relationships, not only in the present, but to clear up a lot of the unfinished business from the past. And that's the stage that leads to stage four, creating real lasting love.
So, but I see that stage three is a potential, you know, major speed bump here for a lot of people who get real lost in it.
Exactly.
I'm, you know, I think you and I, Jed, would both agree that as practitioners, that people, once these issues start rearing their heads, right, then they should get help. You know,
yeah.
I don't think that it's really the purview of the spouse to become their partner's therapist.
Exactly,
this doesn't
right.
mean you're going to be, you know, like condemning yourself to, you know, like 35 years of therapy. I'm simply saying that I encourage a lot of couples to go together to, say, a person like yourself, and then just sit there and put it out on the table and say, you know, my father never treated me with respect and downgraded me, made me feel bad. And so I've been walking around with low self-esteem, and I feel very defensive a lot. And it comes out in my relationship with my wife, for instance.
Yeah.
And so now it's time to get to the bottom of that and say,
exactly.
No, wait a minute now. That was his story about you, not your story about you. And let's you know, try to parse this. And I think that when I look at the five stages, as you've outlined them in your wonderful book, The Enlightened Marriage, I'm really seeing the disillusionment place, correct me if I'm wrong, as the place where there's a tremendous amount of work to do, where people
exactly.
really have to sit down and address this. And if they don't, then is it true that this is maybe what sparks a lot of divorces?
Well, it's what, you know, you hit it on the nose. It's what sparks pretty much all divorces, every disillusion. You know, occasionally, you know, I'll find a couple that really shouldn't be together. They really made the wrong choice. And as the illusions go down, they see the real person. They go, it's absolutely clear that you and I should not be together. But the vast majority of relationships that I've found, you know, really need the help and support, just as you described, that says this is an opportunity to go deeper. This is an opportunity where instead of seeing ourselves as adversaries, where, you know, I'm not getting what I need from you and you're not getting what you need from me, and we get more angry with each other, we begin to realize that what's getting triggered is old material from the past. Like I just had a couple today. I do therapy every day in addition to writing books. And what this one woman had said to her husband, she said, you know, they've been married for like 30 years. And she finally says to him, you know, a lot of the anger that you keep putting on me, I really think has to do with your father wound and the family you grew up in. And he finally goes, you're right. You know, I need to deal with that. And as you say, often we can't do that just together as a couple. We really need a third guide, you know, a therapist, you know, some kind
yes.
of a counselor, some kind of a guide that can help you. Because when you're in it, and you know this, is when you're in the midst of this stage, it's like it's disorienting. You're really lost in a jungle. And you don't have a compass. You don't have a direction out. So part of what, you know, I recommend, you know, in my work and why people come to see me, and, you know, the book is a guidance for this, is, you know, you probably are going to want some help getting through this stage three as you approach it, as you find yourself into it, rather than going, you know, to the lawyers, spending a lot of money there. You know, you might want
exactly.
to consider getting support to really see how you can get through this stage, because almost everybody that you know and I know doesn't want to go through a disillusion, doesn't want their relationship to fall apart. They want to get through this. They just don't know how.
Exactly. Well, there's something else, too, and that is you mentioned incompatibility in your book. And I really think it's really important for people to understand the difference and the relationship between incompatibility and disillusionment, and looking at, you know, how one affects the other. For instance, if you find out that one person is really, you know, a super night owl, and has become really a big time night owl, and you barely ever even see him, and then the other person is a lark, you know, up with the Tweety birds and the sunrise, mm-hmm. and never the twig shall twain. I mean, you know, they're passing each other in the halls as one's going to bed and the other one's getting up, and you know, and maybe that wasn't so obvious and it wasn't so dire when they first met, but now flash forward 10 years. It's just, you know, because of jobs and other issues and back and forth. Now you have this. So they have what appears to be an incompatible time schedule. So help us understand how that fits into this disillusionment stage.
Well, here's the deal, as I understand it, that there's kind of an old saying in the divorce world is when, you know, you go to the lawyer and the grounds for divorce often in the old days were incompatibility. And, you know, you say whatever
Absolutely.
That is, you know, we're, you know, and there's 100 reasons that you can give for why, quote, we're incompatible. But here's what I've learned is that rather than incompatibility being grounds for divorce, I've found that incompatibility really can be the foundation for going deeper into real lasting love. So take the example that you gave. So let's say you find out that we're really incompatible in terms of our energy. Somebody's a night owl and wants to stay up, you know, till 2 a.m. The other person wants to go to bed at 8 o'clock and get up, you know, with the Tweety birds and, you know, does their work in the morning. That's actually, you're describing my wife and I. You know, she is a night owl. She likes to stay up late. I do my best work starting at 5 a.m. So the problem generally is not incompatibility, but the problem is how do we interpret that? Now, often what pulls people apart is they interpret the incompatibility as you don't care about me, you don't love me, you're not there for me. On the other hand, if you embrace, you know, the incompatibility and you feel cared about, then you work it out like we've done. You know, we don't, you know, I go to bed early, she stays up late. I get up early, she's still sleeping in. But we have a whole lot more of our world that we can, you know, engage if we don't blame each other or make each other feel wrong for our different energy styles. So the key isn't the incompatibility, it's how do you work through that? How do you say, how do we find time together? You know, how do we deal with, you know, our sexual differences? How do we deal with our energy differences? How do we deal with the changes that go on as we get older? So what I'm saying is, in the context of a five-step relationship, a five-stage, these incompatibilities can be used to deepen the relationship, to teach us how to be more compassionate, to teach us how to really be close to a person who's very different than us, that can really give us the love that we want and deepen our love rather than pulling us apart.
Well, you know, it's interesting, as you know, the sociology literature shows that it's not so much that two people have a lot of similarities. I mean, it obviously helps if you're, you know, both tennis players or something. But it's that clearly two people will have dissimilarities, and the successful couples are the ones who can accept and navigate the dissimilarities. So you'll have
exactly.
One person voting for a Republican, the other one voting for a Democrat. Well, nobody died. You just don't talk politics a lot at the dinner table,
right.
You know, and little issues like that. So then moving right along then, I mean, I just love this. What you've done is you're doing a reframing of what disillusionment is. Because right. I think, you know, from what I'm hearing from you, it's very natural, you know, when your thinking is clouded by all those love hormones, dopamine, and all the rest of it. One of the things, you know, that's happening is that you're not thinking clearly about a lot of the dissimilarities quite yet. Right. A lot of that begins to kick in somewhere when that disillusionment or stage three actually activates. And this may also be at a time when other things are converging, changes in people's lives, medical conditions, careers, relationships, whatever. And really, I see this stage three as the big relationship challenge here. This right. is the big one. And I'm so glad that you distinguished this, because I'll tell you, you know, looking at the next two phases, which I want you to go into now, it's like, just get over this hump. You know, I'm a, you know, an athlete, so I'm just thinking this is sort of like, mm-hmm. you know, half marathon, you know.
Exactly.
So you're sitting there, you hit 13.1 miles and you were disillusioned. You were saying to yourself,
right.
well, all right, I'm just about done. No, you're not. You have another 13.1 to go, honey.
Right.
And so let's just reframe that sucker and, you know, and keep running.
Yeah.
So, you know, let's go now to creating real lasting love and then finding your calling as a couple. Let's just blast right into that, because that's
right.
our reward, isn't it?
Exactly. Well, and you know, and I think understanding stage three is the key to that. So I love your athletic reference. I'm also a runner, and you know, recently ran a marathon for the first time at age 65. So I'm a late.
My
late
condolences.
Bloomer, but your analogy is right on. Is that this stage really is like hitting the wall? You know, you really hit difficult times. And again, if you're running a marathon, you know, at that age, you're told about it. You know. Prepare for when you're going to hit that wall. Most of us don't know about the five stages, so when the incompatibility happens, the feeling of disillusionment happens, we think we're with the wrong person, rather than the race is now kicking into high gear. Or as I describe it, instead of this kind of fairy tale view of relationship, this is really more like a hero's journey, you know, the real in-depth. And the
right.
stage three is like the dark night of the soul. It's where you really get tested. It's like you really go down into the depths, and that's where the healing really occurs. That's where the work on childhood really occurs. And then as you come out of that now, having really been tested by fire as a couple, you now come out into what I call real lasting love, which has these two characteristics that are wonderful. And a third characteristic, which is even more wonderful. So the first two are, you really know you're with the real person. You've taken back your projections, and now you see the person as they really are, with their flaws, their excesses, the deficits. They see you as a real person, not a projection of, you know, their hopes and dreams of what they wanted, but a real person. So you're with somebody real. Secondly, you've done some of the healing that you've needed to do, the stuff you put off from the past that you thought, I don't have to deal with my childhood, it wasn't so good, I just want to forget it and get away from it, and you realize you've taken it with you, and now you've done some of the healing, so your past is more real and more healed, and your present relationship is more healed. Now here's the additional bonus. Not only are you now with the real person that you've gone through the fires of love together, and you're honed and you're burnished and you're glowing, but they've shown that the love that comes from a long-term relationship is Helen Fisher's work, who's done, you know, work in putting people in, you know, scan machines who have been
right.
in new relationships, that falling in love phase, and what the brain does when you're just newly fallen in love. What they find is that people that have been in long-term relationships have gone through this in-depth process, have the same brain activity as young lovers have. That is, they record as still feeling in love, except for one characteristic that is not there in the mature lovers. And what's missing is fear and anxiety. Right?
Ah.
If you look back on that falling in love stage when we're young, yeah, well, you may be head over heels in love, but you know there's a lot of fear. I could lose this person. If they really knew who I really was, maybe they wouldn't want to be with you. So in this mature stage, having been through this, the same brain chemicals, the same scans are being registered. You are, in fact, in love, except without the anxiety and fear. So how many people would like to have, you can still be in love in this stage four, but without the anxiety and fear that you may have had as a young lover. So,
hey, listen,
saying,
Jed,
I love
sign
you,
me
I'm
up.
I'm not in love with you. You say, I love you, and I'm in love with you again.
I love it. I love it. And that I love, to say the least. And then clearly it's straightforward into finding your calling as a couple. And I really think that, you know, your consistent reference to the hero's journey, which is so absolutely apropos, is all about now you've got two people going now forward. They're aging together. They're facing a multitude of challenges together, but they're stronger, they're calmer, they're more fearless.
Right.
And I think that all of this is just absolutely solid, hopeful advice for everyone out there who's really looking at a relationship that means that much to them, especially within the construct of marriage itself. We're talking to Dr. Jed Diamond, who is the author of the new book, The Enlightened Marriage, The Five Transformative Stages of Relationships and Why the Best is Still to Come. And we've been talking about the I love you, but I'm not in love with you. Well, that was, we're going to put that aside. We're going to say I love you, and I still love you, and I love you more. And there you have the hope from this wonderful work that Dr. Jed Diamond has done putting this together. Now, Jed, you have a special offer for our Her podcast listeners?
Indeed, I do. Actually, two things I want to let your listeners know about. One is that we have a new, just out, Enlightened Marriage Master's Class that takes all of these things, and in a series of videos that you do over a period of a month, you really get guided into how to deal with all these things. There's a workbook that goes with it and a dedicated website where you can interact with me. We've got that available. But we also want to have your listeners have some gifts. And so I have two really in-depth white papers that I want to send any of your listeners that would like, that really goes into this in depth and really gives you some guidance about how do you navigate these five stages of relationship. So you can go to my website called theenlightenedmarriage.com, and you can email me at Jed, just my personal name, J-E-D, at menalive.com, which is my general website. And if you mention the show in that, I'll send your listeners these two white papers and be just really pleased to interact with your people and be able to share and answer questions that they might have that we didn't get covered in the talk today.
Oh, fantastic. Two beautiful gifts. And if they want to sign up for the master's class, do they go to your website, menalive.com?
Well, it'll be on both sites. We have my general class. You can do it on menalive.com, or we have a dedicated site that's called theenlightenedmarriage.com. So either place, whichever one you remember, you can go to, and that you can sign up for the class there and get. I have a series of free videos that we give to people that really give you some of this in-depth thing. And I kind of like videos in addition to talking, where you can see each other and interact that way. So there's a lot of ways you can do it at menalive.com or theenlightenedmarriage.com.
Excellent. Well, this is fantastic. Again, everyone, we've been talking to Dr. Jed Diamond. Run on out. Get this book, The Enlightened Marriage, The Five Transformative Stages of Relationships and Why the Best is Still to Come. His websites are theenlightenedmarriage.com and menalive.com. And you heard it here. You've got some free gifts coming up, including this Enlightened Marriage Master's Class. Jed, thank you for being on the Her podcast. And hey, remember to catch every episode of Her. Just hit subscribe on iTunes or on our show page at RadioMD.com. And please take 30 seconds or less and rate this podcast on iTunes. Why? Because we want to attract more people just like you to the show. And that happens when you take the time to rate it. And while you're at it, can you please leave a review as well? Just remember, my mother reads these reviews. I'm Dr. Pam Peake. Follow me on Twitter at Pam Peake MD. And you can also check out our Her podcast show page on RadioMD.com and check out all of our past episodes there as well. Thanks for listening, and please stay well.